Hello, people of Earth who are on stories that are on the world above the first story of our house. I'm Emily, and that's Elt. We're coming to you once again from our mother's basement. And for those of you who wrote in letters, yes, we have dealt with the black mold problem. It is totally fine. Neither of us got too sick. And your letters are very lovingly magnetized onto our refrigerator. We like looking at them.
Before we begin with the books that we're talking about, I did promise a funny story about PB&J.
Yes.
And the person, I don't know if the person who this happened with is listening or not, so we won't use any names. But one summer when I was in overnight camp, when my mom pried me away from my computers and out of the basement and sent me to the sunshine.
There was a lot of crying that year.
It was difficult. But I was I was what was called a specialty staff member, which is just the made-up term for people who are not exactly counselors, but not head counselors either, and they find some other job for you to do. And we had a little table of us specialty peoples, and our waitress was coming around to take sandwich orders for the grand trip. So the grand trip, usually you wake up really, really early in the morning and you go to some amusement park somewhere that's hours and hours away, and you spend the whole day there. You come back to camp late at night, and that's fun. But what's important to note is that because you're away from camp all day, the waitresses have to prepare lunch for you. So she had to come around to take the sandwich orders. And she came to me and she said, "What do you want in your sandwich?" And I said, "I'll take 2 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, please." And she looks at her charts and she said, "There's no peanut butter and jelly on the list." And I said, "I don't know what that means. How do we not have PB&J options? There were no peanut allergies. There was no reason to not have the ultimate sandwich." Not the ultimate sandwich, but the most reliable sandwich. Though. Yeah, it is pretty close. And also it's the most reliable sandwich, yes. I'd say. The go-to.
Yes.
You can't not have the classic go-to sandwich.
Yeah.
So I said, "Okay, what is on the list?" So she says, I think there was like tuna maybe or whatever else. And she's like, "There's peanut butter and there's jelly." So I said, "There's peanut butter?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "There's jelly?" And she said, "Yes." So I said, "Why can't you make one side peanut butter, one side jelly, and put it together and have a peanut butter and jelly?" She got very flustered and upset. The good news is that thank God we can laugh about that now because we're still friends. Well, we became friends with each other. But that was a real turning point in the relationship when she thought I was just being really obnoxious. And I could not understand how someone could have peanut butter and jelly but not have peanut butter and jelly.
That is the ultimate question.
That is the ultimate question. And she has proven to be far more intelligent, thank God, than that moment. And whenever I go into her house, I always admire her. She has a very extensive library. Her and her husband have a beautiful library at home.
That's how we rate people. Based
yeah, on the libraries. Yeah, basically. Yeah. That is kind of how we rate people.
That is a great story.
Thank you.
Also, it's just like you could have also gotten one peanut butter and one jelly sandwich and on your own made 2 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches if it was too much.
Yeah, but then you'd have one peanut butter and jelly and one sandwich that only has hints of peanut butter and jelly on it.
You're right.
And her job was to make the sandwiches, not mine.
No,
people have to pull their own weight.
That's true.
We can't do everything for them all the time.
No. We are going to do a lot for you today, though, because we're going to talk about the Illuminae Files series. I don't think it has the term series. The Illuminae Files. There are 3 books, so it's a trilogy.
Incredibly, incredibly original and fun series.
Yes. So our overall ratings for violence, we gave it a 2, language a 2, and romance a 2.5. And as you know, we'll go into the reasons for the ratings a little bit later. But first, I guess we'll just summarize what these books are about. They are sci-fi, set in space, as all good sci-fi should be.
I think they sort of qualify as a space opera a little bit, just because I guess it's extensive enough and you have the romantic elements and I think it's sort of, it's like a light space opera probably.
Yeah. And you can't really talk about the summary and what the story's about without talking about the format. Because the format, it's not written in a regular book,
just narrative.
There's like classified documents, there are letters to people, there's chat rooms, there's pictures, there are
transcriptions of discussions or video feeds or things like that.
Yeah, so it's all supposed to be, these files are part of a larger court case that is happening based on some attacks that happened on a small planet by a larger corporation, and the kids or young adults, because of course it's a young adult book, so the protagonists are young adults, mostly, and how they're collecting all of, again, these transcripts and the diary entries and the letters and the photos and whatever they are to then build their case to prove that this attack actually happened. So that's, and it's all set in space again. So that's basically what's going on, but it's the format that, like, you open to the first page of this book and you know you have to read the rest of it.
They're just that good. They're really that good. And even, I was kind of laughing because after I read the first book, I was like, wow, if you strip away the sci-fi elements of it and you strip away just the way it's told, then you're kind of left with a basic rom-com.
Yeah.
But just really the telling of it is just so original, and it was just so refreshing to read, A, to read a book that's so original, and to just read something that's just out of the norm. I saw some people in reviews, some people didn't necessarily take to that as well. They didn't like it so much. Also, the tone is a very teen tone. So for adults, it's a little bit hard to get into, maybe, because they really talk like teens. They're not, just their exchanges are just, they're teenagery.
Yes.
But I still think, my cousin had told me about these books, and she told me about them multiple times. And once I read them, all I could think was, why did I wait so long to read these? Again, it's just so refreshing. It's just original, and it's fun.
And I think it's actually interesting in a world maybe where a lot of young adults are probably on their phones or watching more TV than they are reading books. I think a book like this, which doesn't ask you to keep your attention to one narrative format the whole way, but it includes pictures or words that create a picture or chat transcripts, I think is really smart. You're getting to an audience you're relating to an audience in the way that they want to be related and have a story told to them.
Yeah. And the one thing that it is, when you do pick up these books or you look at these books, they're really thick. But part of that is because of the format of the telling. So some pages, if it's a transcript of a video feed that seems more like a narrative, regular text telling. But then again, there's like images of a spacecraft, or each time there's an attack, let's say if there's an assault team, they'll kind of show the pictures of the assault team, and then they'll cross out faces as the book's going along if someone dies in the assault team.
Yeah.
So they are a little daunting because they're very thick, but a lot of it just because of the format and the layout of it.
Yeah. I actually, when I started reading them, so in college and in high school, whenever I had to read a book for English, whether or not I liked it was based upon how easy it was to read. Because some of those classics,
oh man,
are so tough. And oh, yeah. Sometimes how they print them, I don't know why classics have to be printed in the tiniest font ever. Like,
can you, it's not all the classics. There's a lot of paperbacks they print like that, and I immediately put it back down.
Yeah. Again. You can't get through that.
Yeah. Don't print. Please, publishers, don't print like that. Yeah. It's just, you might be saving space on paper or something, but nobody wants to read a book that's so tiny.
It's also not nice to people over the age of 40.
Death.
Right?
It's too small.
Yeah.
Please make everything we want to read. Just
yes.
Help us with this.
And that's what I liked about this book, was I thought, oh, I can sit down and read this, and I'll probably be able, not that a book is good because you can get through it quickly, but if you don't have to worry about the formatting, it's a nice bonus.
Yeah. It's also deceptive because some people think that easy reading means that, oh, the writing almost must have been so easy to write. And that's not true.
Yeah.
It's definitely a skill for writers who have, that are easy, that it's easy to read their books. It's definitely a skill to be able to make it just seem so, for it to just flow and just seem so natural for the story to be told in that kind of way.
Yeah. Like people who are really good at podcasting, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
We make it look easy.
We do. And we make it sound easy.
Sound easy. That's primarily.
But that's how good we are, because it looks easy too.
Yes.
Yes.
Ooh, very good.
Yeah.
So do you want to go into some of the reasons for our ratings?
Yeah, let's go into that. So the reason violence has two, there is actually a lot of violence in these books because it's all about an attack on a planet and people escaping it. And there's also like some bio disease that's going on that also is turning people crazy. Each book has its outs, like the people attack and the bio attack. That's, each book kind of has that. I'm not sure actually if the third book has that. But the first two books I know have that.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of death that's referenced. They do talk about the characters who go kind of crazy. There is shooting. It's a war. There's a war going on. But
explosions.
Yeah, explosions. But they don't sit on the violence too much, and it doesn't get, so as we were, as we were discussing the rating, we said there are descriptions of violence, but it's not descriptive violence, which is why we kept it at a 2, because it is there and it's everywhere, but it doesn't get very gory. I don't think it's anything it's not necessarily an uncomfortable description of violence. If you don't like to read about war stuff, maybe you might want to stay away, but I would tell you, open up your mind a little bit and still, just because the way these books are told is so great. Language is a 2. There aren't necessarily specific bad words in it, but they censor out the words, so you know what that word was supposed to be. Or let's say they'll censor the first part of, let's say, the F word, and then they'll keep the ing there afterwards. And there's depending on which book and transcript you're reading, some of it has a lot of black marks. Yeah. So we still gave it a 2 because of the suggestion of all those words. And you do see words, I think, like hell or damn.
Yeah, it's a little pearl clutchy.
It is a little pearl clutchy.
Because you know it's there.
Yeah.
You know that that's what's being blacked out. But they do actually black it out.
Yes.
Whether that's just so that they can get into school libraries or because
probably.
They know that the characters probably would speak that way, but they know the audience they're writing for, so they don't put it in.
Yeah.
So, 2 pearls.
It's definitely 2 pearls. And then, so the romance is kind of like that also. Each book has its one, like, big epic kiss. Oh, yeah. And it's just, and they do describe the kiss a little bit. Well, they do describe the kiss, but there's also a lot of suggestion, a lot of suggestiveness, like, oh, hey, I've got the big bed, you know what that means, and like weird smiley faces follow. So that's why we kind of up the rating on the romance to 2.5.
Also, it's like you said for the first one, take out the outer space stuff, and it's a chick flick. So the romance, especially for the...
The first one, it plays a big part, but it is sort of part of the story. It is kind of...
Yeah.
It does... But
it motivates the characters
to make
a lot of their choices.
Yes, that's why. Because of the motivation. So that's why I don't love when the romance takes over the story, but it is a big part in the first book. Sort of in the third book also, but mainly in the first book. But it is... It does make sense why it's there. And it doesn't...
And they're slightly older teens also. They're like 17, 18, not... 14, 15, so it fits a little bit better.
Also, because they're sort of together beforehand, so it's not a matter of watching oh, they first saw each other and they fell in love. The second book sort of is a little bit more like that, but not the first book. So they already had the relationship and it kind of was going sour, and then part of the rebuilding of the relationship does fit into the way the story works. So that also makes it a little bit easier to stomach when you don't have to go through that. Like, oh my God, we just fell in love sort of thing.
Or where they first meet and then they hate each other. And
yeah.
And they come,
That's actually becoming a big trope now. The lovers, the haters to lovers kind of thing is becoming a big thing now.
Yeah.
But something else about this book that I want to mention is that, so they have an AI in the book and it's called Aiden. Whatever it stands for, whatever.
A-I-D-A-N, so it's an acronym.
Yeah, it stands for whatever the AI is. And it was actually something really interesting because when we first see Aiden, he's very computer. Like, he makes decisions that really only a computer can make. It's a little bit spoilery. I know, can we say... Okay, spoiler alert!
Yeah.
There is one part where there's 2 spaceships that escape this attack, and one spaceship is totally infected by this disease that's causing people to kill each other. And so Aiden kind of takes matters into his own hands, and he sees that if the infected spaceship catches up to the first spaceship, and those people get on board, then they're just going to infect everybody, and everyone's just going to die. So what he does is he eliminates that spaceship. He zaps it. He takes it out. He turns the one spaceship onto the other spaceship, blasts it away, and kills all the people. Now, as human beings, we are horrified by that, as well we should be. Because how do you really know if everyone's affected? How do we know? But Aiden runs the diagnostics. He runs the risks. He runs all the math. And according to mathematics, it says that spaceship has to be taken out. And it's really interesting because... It sees itself now as this merciful, protecting, like, force. Of course I'm going to protect them. Of course I'm going to protect them. See, I protected them. And it's kind of chilling, actually, to see that this is... Because that, I think, pretty much is what a computer would do. I think that's a good depiction of AI. It is interesting, though, because as the books progress, and especially as the first book progresses... They do make the AI a little bit more human. Like, the main character, Katie, she tries to teach him how to make jokes. And for some reason, Aiden's, like, stuck on Katie. Doesn't really explain why. Just calls her, like, oh, she's this, like, bright light that he sees.
Yeah.
Like, the why is because she's the protagonist. Let's just be honest. That's the why. Like, it doesn't make sense for an AI to just pick someone like that. It is necessary for the plot. It is necessary, but... As he kind of fixates on Katie and kind of kind of like mother hens. No, it's actually more of like a mother bear.
Yeah.
Like a lion cub thing. The he will protect her at all costs. But it is interesting how they took an AI and they try to make it more human. I don't know that that's... It's an interesting way to see AI, which I think sci-fi in general raises a lot of questions that we wouldn't necessarily imagine in a contemporary world, because we really... We can only see things as they play out now, and sci-fi can kind of take those things and say, but what if we went this way with it? What if we went that way with it?
Yeah. It's interesting, if any of you listened to our previous episode when we were talking about Ark of a Scythe, because there's also an AI in that series, but that AI is more human and emotional and involved with its people from the beginning. Though in the second or the third book, it does also pick one protagonist, and it's not totally made clear why. So it's interesting reading these two books and seeing how the author, one author thought of AI and how the other imagines AI. But I do like in Illuminae that it's just a computer. It's doing math, and this is what the math... In Ark of a Scythe, it also sort of is coming from that perspective, but it's trying to be more empathetic and more motherly in a way. So it is interesting, the two opposing.
Yeah, and I did read... I think I read these both close together. I had read Illuminae first. I do have a preference for Aiden over the Thunderhead, but some people I've spoken to actually like the Thunderhead better than Aiden. And
the Thunderhead is easier to swallow because it's kinder.
Oh,
whereas
maybe.
Whereas Aiden would kill a full ship of people, the Thunderhead wouldn't have to kill the full ship because in that world, everyone would just heal
right
magically.
Right. You have the Scythes who kind of... The Thunderhead does not interrupt the Scythe's work.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't point that out last time.
Oh. Well. Yeah. You'll have to read that book. Anyway, also, one of the things I like about these books is maybe because they're written from teenager tone, they're fun.
They are a lot of fun.
Like, they're funny.
Yeah. And funny, too. That is true. You just have to... This kind of book, it's not the thought-provoking. This is a real entertainment kind of book.
Yes.
And if you're looking to just... I just want to have a good time and... I don't want to say not to think too much, because for me it was so exciting to turn the page and see how else were they going to tell the story. Like, what were they going to come up with next? But if you're just looking for like a solid good time, I think these books are high up on the suggestion list for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is okay. And enjoy a good read. You know, not everything has to be meaningful and serious. My grandmother thought everything had to be meaningful and serious, and she would have CNN playing all the time. You know, or she would just be like every book that she read was, you know, historical or a biography. But no, enjoy these. Have fun.
Have fun.
Fun.
And we're going to go have fun taking care of our basement.
Oh, yeah. There's that beeping going on again. And we don't know where it's coming from. We should probably check on that, yeah?
Let's go check that out.
All right. We'll see you guys.
Okay, bye.